play bench. There's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get things going on this Monday, December 2nd. Welcome to December and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg and welcome to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. This hour of Flames Talk, every hour of Flames Talk, available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. What's up, Wes? We got some news on this Monday.
There was no shortage, was there?
Well, we had a pretty good idea on Sunday that something was coming when both Jacob Pelche and Walker Dewar were scratched for a Calgary Wranglers win in Manitoba. By the way, later on this hour, Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, will join us. And so, you know, those are two of the top three scorers on the team. You're like, okay, well, that probably tells you something. I think you can probably guess that those two guys are going to be recalled on Monday. They were. So here's what happened. Here's the rundown of the transactions. Indeed, both Jacob Pelche and Walker Dewar were recalled by the Flames. The Flames sent Adam Klapka back to the American League, and Justin Kirkland's been placed on injured reserve with that lower body injury. I'm a little concerned again with the severity of what we're talking about with Kirkland. I hope that my spidey senses are wrong on this one, but I'm a little concerned there. I think there was some more evaluating going on Monday and might continue into Tuesday. So I still think there's some determination in terms of how long he may or may not be out for. But as of right now, Kirkland on IR and will not play Tuesday against Columbus. And just fingers crossed for him that it's not anything overly severe, because it's been such a great story. And then Andre Kuzmenko was the odd man out and looks like he'll be healthy scratched Tuesday against Columbus. That's kind of the rundown. Let's start with Jacob Pelche. He to me, when you take a look at the needs for the Flames and who is going to be out of the lineup and what they're replacing and what their needs are right now, Pelche and Dewar were the two right guys to call up. Dewar is a perfect guy to slot in. You know he can play bottom six right wing minutes. Bam, Dewar's easy. He's got 19 points in 20 games with the Wranglers this year. Pelche, again, right call for me. I know a lot of clamoring about Rory Karens, which we can get to, but Jacob Pelche is a winger. He can play both sides. He's having a great year with the Wranglers, so it's not like they're calling up a guy who's not playing well. He also has 19 points in 20 games. When he's at his best, he infuses energy to the group. Remember 2 years ago when he made his debut, and throughout that time, one of the things, even though the offense wasn't coming at a high level for him, we talked a lot about, you always get energy, you always get a potential spark with Jacob Pelche in the lineup. When he's at his best, he infuses energy to a group that needs something to jumpstart him. And maybe the most important thing about Jacob Pelche being recalled for me is they have an opportunity to recall a player, and this is a player that they need to make a determination on. They need to find out exactly what Jacob Pelche is before they determine whether or not they want to go forward with him. And that's why I really think, Wes, if this isn't the last chance, it is damn well close to kind of the last chance for Jacob Pelche organizationally to make an impression on Ryan Huska, on Craig Conroy and this management staff. Show them that the NHL is where you belong. I had a chance to just listen in and chat with Jacob just a little bit on Monday morning, and he talked very much about how his confidence is back and he feels like, you know, the shock and the sting of what happened in training camp is now behind him. Awesome. This is one of, if not the last opportunity for him over a stretch of 5 games, 7 games, whatever it ends up being, to make an impression and make it so that they can't send this guy back down. Here's a golden opportunity for Jacob Pelche, and one that I think that they needed to give him before determining whether or not they're going to re-sign him in the summer, before determining what's going to happen beyond this season. There's a big move. I think it's the right move for the Flames. I think it's the move the Flames needed to make when this opportunity presented itself.
Yeah, just to, you know, sort of reiterate a couple of things that you already said. One, like, this is an earned call-up. We're talking about a guy who has 19 points, 16 of those being assists. You mentioned the sort of clamoring to see Rory Karens. Well, on so many of Karens' goals, it's been Pelche who has set the table. So we're talking about a guy who's tied sitting fourth in the AHL in assists. That he earned another opportunity at the NHL level. We're also talking about a guy who one of his greatest attributes is his positivity and his energy. And this is a Flames team that needs some of that. They're coming off a miserable road trip. They can't score goals. They are a frustrated bunch. And I think Jacob Pelche can help with that. And so for a couple of reasons, I think this is a good time to bring up Jacob Pelche and see what he can do. But you're absolutely right. It has that feel of, okay, we need to see it now. I think as much as anything, it's not just Jacob Pelche proving that he can be an NHLer. It's Jacob Pelche proving where he can fit as an AHLer. Yeah,
what he is as an AHLer, right?
You know, and I texted back and forth with some scouts from other organizations when Jacob Pelche went on waivers. And during that 24-hour process, I'm just trying to kind of suss out, okay, well, do you think he gets claimed? And what I heard from a couple of them was maybe there's a team that really likes him, but nobody really knows what Jacob Pelche is as an NHLer. And I believe, I shouldn't even say I believe, I know from conversations off the record that that's the internal feeling on Jacob Pelche too. We don't know exactly what he is as an NHLer. And so I think it's so important for him to start to show that. You know, you're in charge, as everyone knows, around the Saddle Dome of tweeting the lines. Huh. Would it be a volunteer position?
Yeah, I've yet to be able to monetize it.
Okay, so anyway, you're the official line tweeter, and I think a lot of people were surprised to see that with Andrei Kuzmenko coming out, it wasn't Jacob Pelche getting the spot in the top nine. We're going to see Walker Dewar, if today's lines were an indication, we're going to see Walker Dewar in a top nine spot and Jacob Pelche on the fourth line. That indicates to me that Ryan Huska wants to see that he can be a fourth liner. He wants to see that he can bring the energy and the speed that was missing too often in preseason and then earn more. I would have put, it's easy for me to say, I would have put Jacob Pelche in a top nine spot. But it's now time for a 23-year-old to show what he can be at the NHL level. Yeah, he's still technically one of the kids, but he was drafted the year before Connor Zary, who's now a full-time NHLer. He was drafted 2 years before
Matt Coronato,
yep, who's now a full-time NHLer. He was drafted in the same year, but six rounds before Dustin Wolf, who's now a full-time NHLer. It's time. Yep. I got all the time in the world for Jacob Pelche as a person. I like him a ton as a player, but it's time to show it. It really is.
Yep. He was drafted 1 year after Martin Pospisil, who has also turned into a full-time NHLer, right? And so this is the opportunity now for Pelche. And I think internally, and again, just based on some conversations I've had, I think I know internally that there's a lot of, not even just unknown, but like, you got to show us. Because as you mentioned, we're talking about a guy who is 23 years old now and is approaching 6 years in the organization. He was drafted in June of 2019. And so, you know, he's 5.5 years into his time as a member of this Flames organization. At some point, you know, you got to show what you are as an NHLer. And I know that he's had bad luck. I know that the shoulder injury sucked last year. And, you know, I know that he maybe didn't get the type of runway a lot of us deserved on a lot of us thought he deserved rather under Daryl Sutter. And, you know, there is, I still think it was rather inexplicable that he was scratched for as long as he was, as the Flames were listlessly ending that season in 2023, when I think they needed a boost or a burst of energy, which we all knew, especially at that time, that Pelche could provide. But that was 2 years ago. And, you know, last season, as much as a lot of it was bad luck, it happened. And he was very tentative and he was very underwhelming in training camp with a big opportunity on his plate and didn't make the most of that and got put on waivers for the first time and didn't get claimed on waivers. And all of these, like, it's now starting to turn into last call time for Jacob. And that's why I think this is the right move to make. First of all, again, on merit, Wes, it makes sense. He's the second highest scoring player on the Wranglers. The highest scoring player who we'll talk about right now is a center who would be playing fourth line center minutes in Calgary, which I think is silliness if he can continue playing number one center minutes in the American League. And so Pelche made sense to get this chance. On merit, it made sense. In terms of what they need and what they're losing, what they're taking out, it made sense. And maybe most important of all is they've got to use this opportunity as an organization. Craig Conroy's got to use this opportunity as an organization to find out what they've got, or at the very least, get a little bit more intel on what he is at the NHL level. Can you be a fourth liner in the NHL, or can you be a middle six winger in the NHL? Can you play on Michael Backlund's wing in the NHL and be a good two-way winger like Mangiapane was, or whoever you want to point to? These are questions the Flames need to know before they determine whether or not they're going to sign this guy in the summertime, or if they're going to, after what would be 6 years at that point, go their separate ways. And I think that we're at this point now with this player, whether, because I'm with you. I've got all the time in the world for Pelche. I think he is an extremely, extremely easy guy to root for. And I hope to hell what we're talking about happens in a good way. And he does show them what he is, and he does prove it, because he is an easy guy to root for. But that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, and I don't want anyone listening to this to get sort of the wrong idea about the internal feeling. Like, there's people at the Saddle Dome who are pulling so hard for Jacob Pelche, A, because of the qualities that made him a first-round pick, both, you know, on ice and some of the, you know, locker room stuff that they thought he could bring at that point, some of the reasons they were so drawn to his personality, but also because of the attributes he has that this team's looking for, right? They want speed. They want some guys who have some playmaking ability to get the offense going. Jacob Pelche has used those attributes well at other levels. It's not, you know, when we say last chance saloon, we're not talking about an organization that's hoping he fails so that they can move on.
No.
They think he can help. Now it's up to Jacob to show it.
Yep. And I think it's really important. You know, I've seen a lot of texts over the last, I want to say, year or so, talking about, yeah, maybe all that criticism about not giving Matthew Phillips a chance. Like, do you think that you can dial back on that and apologize now? So, no. The Flames found out outside of the organization that Matthew Phillips probably isn't a full-time NHLer. And that to me remains slightly frustrating, because you'd much rather have a guy that you drafted. You'd much rather find out for yourself. And he barely played NHL games in this organization. And so I think that that's what you want to avoid. And I know that that is very much on the mind of Flames brass, is trying to avoid that. If they do decide to move away and go in their separate directions, it'll be because they feel like they know. And I don't think the Flames knew when Matthew Phillips decided to sign in Washington. And so I think that's really important, too, is before you make a final decision, be sure that you know. So if the final decision is, oh, yeah, we're going to sign Pelche to a 2-year extension because we know, he showed us. That's what they're hoping. And if it goes the other way, you gave him some runway in the NHL this year, and you can know on that side as well.
Can they have him on the third line by midway through the game tomorrow? Like, can we get a legitimate look at where he could belong with some talent? And no knock on Ryan Lomberg. One eye still a little bit closed from, you know, a fight that nobody else would pick. You know, a beloved teammate. No knock on Kevin Rooney, who's been strong on a penalty kill that, you know, needs more guys playing strong on it. But, you know, if Jacob Pelche is going to use the talents that helped him get to 16 assists to start this AHL season, I do hope he gets a chance to showcase that.
I agree.
In some of the spots that we might have seen probably the next guy we're going to talk about.
And I think he's going to kill penalties. I think he's going to get an opportunity on the PK, which will be big. And I think that they're going to give him some runway here. Yep. I don't think it's going to be one game and you're out. I think it's going to be a little runway, which I think is important too.
Well, and maybe that's the better way to look at it is I don't think they're taking Andre Kuzmenko out for 2 weeks. I think they want Andre Kuzmenko to sit one as a sign of, hey, we keep telling you, you got to move your feet more. You're not doing it, so we're going to sit you. We keep telling you, you got to shoot. You're not doing it, so we're going to sit you. But I don't think the plan, typically when you take a lineup lock out and scratch him, you're going to put him back in a game or two and say, okay, show us you got the message. And so maybe as it pertains to Pelche starting on the fourth line, I'm looking at it the wrong way. Maybe that's where the full-time, if your Spidey senses about Justin Kirkland are, or maybe not Spidey senses, but if your concerns about Justin Kirkland turn out that this is going to be a guy who's on the shelf for a while, maybe that's where the full-time spot is on the fourth line. I'm just really curious to see what Jacob Pelche does with this opportunity because, yeah, there's been some bad luck, but there's also been a bunch of recalls, and we've heard him say before, yeah, I've got my confidence back. And now it needs to translate.
Doer, easy one. Again, having a great year on merit, deserves the recall.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically like it's Doer for Klapka in a lot of ways. Right shot, right wing. It's an easy one to bring up.
Yeah. Adam Klapka made it easy on Saturday, too.
He did. Klapka struggled in his first game back, which is tough. He hadn't played an NHL game since late October, but I think he needs to play and probably wasn't going to be playing. And so, at least if he stayed up in the NHL, you know that he goes to the American League, and we'll ask Trent Cull this in a few minutes, but you know Trent's going to put him in a top six role, number one power play. Like, they're going to use and lean on Adam Klapka in a big way starting this weekend when he's into action for the Wranglers. I did quickly want to just reiterate on Rory Kerens. I think he will get, like, his time is going to come if he continues doing what he's doing this season. I think it would be detrimental right now to bring him up and shoehorn him into the role that Kevin Rooney's been playing. Kevin Rooney has been killing penalties as the number one PK forward pair with Michael Backlund. He is your fourth line center who does not see a ton of 5-on-5 time. With Lomberg and Pelche to start the game on Tuesday. Like, for me, keeping Kerens in the American League as your number one center, playing 19, 20, 21 minutes a night, continuing to build up a boatload of confidence, that is far more desirable. And letting him continue cooking in the American League is far more desirable than putting him in Kevin Rooney's spot as the fourth line center. You know what? If all of a sudden Connor Zary really falls off and you're like, we need to move him away from the middle, that's a time where you think about calling up Kerens and doing something there. Or if somebody else gets hurt and an actual center ice position opens up, that's where I think you've got a real opportunity to give Cairns a look. But for now, I'm of the belief that for the first time, he is a full-time American leaguer. For the first time, he is a full-time, like, impact American leaguer. Let him continue building on that. I personally believe that's better for his development on December 2nd. But if he continues to do what he's doing, his time will come. I can guarantee, I know that for a fact. His time will come this year if he continues doing what he's doing down there. And it's been a great story and good on him.
I'll go one further, buddy. I don't think it's a problem if we don't see Rory Cairns in the NHL this year. And that's because I am a believer in one of the most important steps of development being proving over an extended period of time that you can be a go-to guy at the level you're at. And while Rory Cairns had some big nights or big weeks a year ago in the American Hockey League, while he put up some decent numbers last year in the American Hockey League, we're talking about a guy who's now reaching the next level of his development. And that's to prove you can be one of those guys that your team really leans on in the American Hockey League. And if Rory Cairns, who, hey, credit to him, he's scoring a ton of goals. They loved the shape. Like, his fitness testing results this year were, I think, significantly better than they've ever been before. They think he's playing with more pace than he's ever played with. He's obviously getting more opportunity. If he just kind of marinates in that marquee AHL role for the whole season, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, if we're talking about a guy who in a couple months has 30 goals in the American Hockey League, yeah, I'd love to see how it translates in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see a rush here with a 22-year-old. I know that the Calgary Flames are short on centers, but trust me when I tell you that if Rory Cairns was a finished product as a center, he'd be in the NHL already. They just moved him over from the wing this season. So a little patience is required.
Quickly, line combinations were
Are we getting to the Cousy conundrum?
Yeah, I mean, is it really a conundrum right now?
No, it's not.
They have to, like, he's been in the crosshairs for a little bit. I am quite certain he would have been healthied on Saturday if Kirkland was available, but Kirkland was not available. He's been in the healthy scratch crosshairs for a couple of weeks now, is my belief, and it looks like he's finally going to get sat on Tuesday against Columbus. He was the clear odd man out through line rushes on Monday morning. And honestly, Wes, he had zero shot attempts against the Penguins. Against the Penguins team, that bleeds them. He had zero shot attempts. He is generating, and he actually had more of them against Columbus and against Detroit. But he has been generating fewer shot attempts based on his ice time than everybody on the team. Like Kevin Ball, and I'm not trying to throw shade at any of these guys, just different roles. Kevin Ball's role is not a high-volume shooter. Neither is Ryan Lomberg's. Neither is Kevin Rooney's. Kuzmenko, who has maybe the most dangerous shot on the team or the hardest shot on the team, he's shooting it and putting fewer pucks towards the net based on his 5-on-5 ice time than those guys are. He's not moving his feet. He's invisible at best most of the time, and sometimes worse. This had to happen, and this is now you've tried a lot of different things. You've moved him around the lines. You've asked him to shoot more. You're running out of kind of things to use. You're running out of rabbits in the hat to try to get more out of Kuzmenko. Here's their next try is sitting him down for a game or two, and I think it's something they absolutely have to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think if you rewind the tape, to use an old term, you'd hear you and I talking about this a week ago, whether it was time to scratch Andrei Kuzmenko. We're talking about a guy who is a square peg in Ryan Huska's system already, right? The way that Andrei Kuzmenko plays the game, the way he probably would be a better way to put it. The way he doesn't play the game, he's far from a perfect fit for the style that Ryan Huska demands. So if you're such a square peg for the coach's system and the coach is pleading with you to shoot the puck more, you got to shoot the puck more. Because if Andre Kuzmenko isn't generating offense, then he's not generating a lot of positive for this team.
And quickly, before we check in with Trent Call, the head coach of the Wranglers, no Zane Parekh at the World Juniors. The ninth overall selection at the 2024 NHL Draft was not named to Canada's selection roster. On Sportsnet Today with Logo on the Gang earlier on Monday, Scott Wheeler of The Athletic was on, and he did not agree with the decision to leave Zane Parekh off of the selection camp roster. I was honestly, when I got the email from Hockey Canada earlier on Monday, I didn't even look at defense. I went right to forwards to see if like a Battaglia or a Basha might have made their way on. I know Basha's hurt right now, but like might have made their way onto the selection camp roster. And then it wasn't until I just took a perusal of defense and I was like, "What? I don't see Parekh on there." And so now Zane Parekh wasn't the only high pick of this most recent draft to be left off the selection camp roster. Tiesha Ginla's not on there. Even Michael Misa, who's going to be a high pick in this upcoming draft, wasn't on there. But there was definitely some eyebrows raised with no Zane Parekh on that selection camp roster.
Yeah, and I can tell you around the Saddle Dome, they were surprised. They really thought that this would be a player that had a very good chance of being on Team Canada's roster. Certainly a player who was going to get the opportunity to showcase himself at selection camp. And, you know, the couple people I talked to about it sort of said, okay, yeah, we understand that it's really hard to make Canada's roster. And we think that, you know, maybe there's some concern about the sort of high risk, high reward game that they're trying to help kind of, you know, bring back a little bit. But they also think that Team Canada is missing out on having a really high octane offensive player on their roster. And, you know, if the sort of surprise about it turns to excitement at the Saddle Dome, yeah, like they'd love to be watching Zane Parekh at the World Juniors. Every organization wants their top prospects exposed to this sort of pressure cooker situation. But a couple people also said to me, this is going to really piss him off. And that's not the worst thing for his development.
Was not expecting that one.
No.
That's for sure. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. More on Pelche, more on Dewar, more on Klapka. A few other guys we'll dive into after a 2-for-2 weekend for the Calgary Wranglers as we continue along. Right now, it's Pat and Wes from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This hour continues as we say hello now to the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. It's time for our weekly check-in with Trent Call. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you this hour on Flames Talk. Heck of a weekend for the Wranglers. 6-1 win in Manitoba on Friday, and then Sunday afternoon, different game, but a 3-2 regulation win. With those two wins, Wranglers now up to 15-5-1, and they are back to being the number one overall team in the American Hockey League. It's time to welcome in Trent Call, the head coach on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Back to number one overall, Mr. Call. So you got an even more hyped up intro today.
I appreciate it. Yeah, no, it's nice to have a good weekend.
How'd you like the weekend? What'd you like about your group in those two wins in Winnipeg?
Yeah, well, you know what, we I think the last time we talked, we'd had, like we said, a sidestep against Tucson, and we had a good couple days of practice this past week. Got nothing elegant, just some business we had to take care of, and I thought we did a really good job the first night. We played really well. Probably not, you know, we didn't, I don't think it played as good the second night. But you know what? It was nice for us to kind of sometimes those games, you have games that take on a bit of a different life. It was one of those games. It wasn't really a really exciting game, but never mind, still in the third period, all of a sudden it was going back and forth, but we found a way to win, which is the most important thing at the end of it all.
Well, yeah, different games, right? Like you have the game which was a little more high scoring for your group on Friday, and then a real tight kind of back and forth one on Sunday. Do you like the way that your group kind of adjusted to the two different styles?
Yeah, no, I think it was good. Yeah, I'm always, like I said, I really liked our game the first night. So then, of course, I want that every night, right? But, it doesn't always work out that way. And so, but we had a little bit of a different lineup in there too, right? We had a little adversity with some guys getting called up, which is great and awesome. And so then just it turns into some other opportunities for other guys.
Well, and we'll get to that very shortly, but I did have to ask you, because I was able to watch a good chunk of Sunday afternoon's game, just a thought on how good Devin Cooley was once again for your group.
Yeah, he's a good hockey player. We thought maybe he might get goalie of the month here, you know what I mean? Because he's had some great numbers, and he's had the goalie of the week there before and stuff. So, like, he's been outstanding. He's one of our most consistent players, that's for sure. And he's done probably the most consistent kind of guy we've had. You know what I mean? He's been very consistent.
We're chatting with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He joins us Mondays here on Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson today. What's going on, Wes?
Trent, let us ask you about a couple guys who we saw on the ice, obviously, for practice with the Flames today. A couple players, a couple forwards off to strong starts with your team and rewarded with call-ups. Maybe we can start with Walker Dewar. What have you seen out of Walker in the first couple months of this season?
I wasn't sure, you know, Walker. I hadn't spent much time with him. He came down for a very brief, like, two games on the road last year for, like, it's almost like a conditioning stint. So, you know what? I thought he's come down. We've really, he was kind of, it started with a focus of, hey, like, we want you on that penalty kill. We want you to, like, to really dial this in. We think this is something that could help you, you know, get back to the NHL level, and we're going to have you do this. And it was kind of him and Clark Bishop were partnered together, and they had an instant chemistry and did a really good job. And then, but also with sometimes with us losing bodies or, you know, back to, you know, and then he gets an opportunity on the power play too. So then all of a sudden he leads our team in power play goals, you know? And so I think he's had a real good run for us and kind of played in all situations, got a lot of ice time under his belt. So hopefully prepared him, to be able to get there, I guess, back with the Flames and stay there.
And what about Jacob Pelche? Obviously a lot of focus on him in this city at the end of training camp. There was a lot of debate about whether he should go on waivers, whether the Flames should try to get him to the minors, and certainly not asking you to weigh in on that part. But since Jacob joined the Wranglers and, you know, you watched him, I guess, try to reset. I know he's piled up a ton of assists for your group. What's been your assessment of Jacob's play as he's earned this latest recall?
Just he's probably been one of those guys up front, like him and Rory and Huntsie have played together almost the whole time, and they've had a real kind of a real good flow with each other. And what Pelch brings, I guess you'd say, to us into that line is just the quiet playmaking. You know what I mean? We would talk just about checking and making sure he's forechecking and moving his feet. And then the same thing about moving his feet when he has the puck as well, because he's a good skater. When he changes his angles, he can, you know, see other plays and make other plays. And that's what, I thought he provided offense. He, again, was doing both. He was playing power play and penalty kill for us. So, you know, certainly when I went to start coaching yesterday, there's two guys I was looking for on my game card and I couldn't find, you know. So, I mean, I know that I certainly miss them. So,
Are we talking about guys who are well-positioned because of the way they've been playing to, you know, make a good case for themselves at the NHL level?
I hope so. You know what I mean? Like that's always the goal, right? We're trying to get these guys up and running and get them playing in all situations. I mean, we don't have to tell you. I mean, it's a different league there. And when you go up there, we know that sometimes they may not be asked to provide those certain skill sets. But I mean, I guess just the idea of hoping that they're ready. They're ready to go, I think, in all situations for, you know, Coach Husk, and hopefully they can perform at the top level they can for themselves, but also for the team and help the team win, right? So
we're chatting with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. Wanted to ask you about Adam Klapka rejoining your group. He is a point per game in what he's been able to do for you down there so far this season. He's really turned into an impact maker on your group, and I'm just curious as to what makes Klapka the effective player. We know about the size, but what else makes him such an effective guy with your group?
Well, I mean, one thing about Clapper is he's a good forechecker, you know, and he has that, you know, it's tough maybe to see it up there sometimes in his role, but he has a good skill set. And when he comes down here, one thing he does really well is he gets to the other team's net. He's a big guy. He realizes that if he goes there and he hangs there, it's either he's successful or his teammates are successful. And I tell you, we love having him, that's for sure. And just he's a big man out there too. Like, you know, he's like, guys know when we're playing against another team that they're aware that the Klapka's on the ice.
You had him for a good chunk of last year as well. Where have you seen kind of his game grow the most, Trent?
I don't know if I could say like growing, you know, because I've only had him like spot duty here, there, and there, right? So it's not like he's had a steady run here for us when he's been down. So, I mean, and I haven't, you know, necessarily dug in on, you know, his play in the NHL level, but I don't know if I could say he's growing. I just think he's just doing the exact same things he did here for us last year. You know, he comes down, I think he feels comfortable with the puck. He gets an opportunity to play probably a lot, right? And, you know, and like I said, he just he provides. He provides for our team that big presence, which, you know, he's physical. And then once he gets into the O-zone, he's got a good set of skills, and he shows those off, and he feels comfortable, I think, doing it at this level right now for sure.
Trent, one other guy I wanted to ask you about was William Stromgren. Was just talking to even some different people around the organization, and just how much he's really kind of started to generate some buzz for himself and what he's been doing for your group. 3 points for him over the weekend. You had him last year as well. And I know it was a slow burn for him to get comfortable last season. How much more comfortable has Stromgren been this year for you?
Yeah, no, he has. I think he feels more confident, obviously, from where he was, a year ago. And this is kind of where I think he got his first goal, in Colorado right before Christmas. So let's say in a couple weeks from now, you know, last year. So, you know, from where he's at right now, he's obviously, you know, I still think there's a long runway there for Will too. Like, he's a kid who's a big kid, but you could see him, he'll get stronger and probably a little more meat on his frame as he gets a little more mature or older. But he's got a good skill set. I still like seeing him moving his feet more. We talk about that, just try to create more and add some more speed to his game. I think that part has grown from the start of this year to now, and he's doing a better job with that. And there's always details about checking and tracking and, you know, your back checking and stuff, that some smaller things that every kind of young guy or second year guy we're kind of working with, and just making sure that is as strong as it can be.
I know one of the books on him when the Flames selected him a number of years ago in the second round was, you know, the two-way game, the hockey IQ, like that. Those are things that you're still seeing shine through as nice strengths for him, even if there are areas he needs to continue working on?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And you know what, like Will was the pick for me to go and play with Cairns and Hunt yesterday. You know, like we take Pelche off that line and kind of it's like a, you know, it's a nice fit there. The same thing he's almost providing. You know, Pelche is just like you said, is a smart hockey player who can make plays. Well, that's the exact same with Stromer too. He's a smart hockey player who can make plays, and he does a pretty good job. And I thought he filled right in with those guys. And those guys, I thought, kind of took over the game when we needed them to in the third period yesterday, and it was awesome to see since those guys haven't played together that much.
Aside from being back home with your dog, how nice is it to be how nice is it to be back home? And I know you were home for a little bit, but now you've got a few home games in a row. That was another long stretch for your group on the road. Good to have a four games in a row here on home ice, hey?
It is, yeah. We had it was two different trips, right? With that consisted of seven games, right? So not a bad trip for us, you know, overall, and or two different separate trips, but. So now it's nice. Yeah, we get to come back here for a couple of weeks at home, get some home games into us, and then we have another week there before Christmas where we come back and we finish a couple more right before Christmas at home. So, but it was good. Decent trip. Also, you know, got a chance to dig in on some things, and we learned some things too. So it's been overall a good trip for sure.
Trent, as always, good stuff, my friend. Enjoy the week of practice, and good luck starting next weekend as you're back on home ice. Thanks for doing this, as always. We'll talk to you next week, hey?
Thanks, boys. Appreciate you having me.
He is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Trent Cull joins us here on Flames Talk. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you. Another year where, you know, 2 years under Mitch Love, where they were one of the best teams in the American League. Last year, they started off and were kind of the best team in the AHL or one of them through the first quarter, then the injuries. The American League injuries and the NHL injuries started to really rear their ugly heads. So that was quite the, and Trent told us multiple times last year, and he spent a lot of time coaching at the American League level. He said maybe the most adversity and the most kind of juggling every night that he's ever gone through. Well, this year they've got a bit of a wagon down there once again. 10 games above 500, number one overall, and 15-5-1. It's been a pretty good start for this Wranglers group once again.
It's a pretty nice nod to Brad Pascal's work putting together that roster, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, despite the departures and probably in a lot of cases graduations would be a better word.
Yeah, Coronado.
Yeah,
Mitch McLean was a big part of that group last year. Like there's been some significant
Ben departures. Jones was a significant part of that team. They had a goalie who was pretty good.
Couldn't place it, but I believe you.
Yeah, and so you know, they've graduated a bunch of guys over that 4 year span you mentioned to the NHL level, and yet continue to pile up wins. It's pretty darn impressive.
I checked around just like, 'cause I watched a decent chunk of the game on Sunday, and just fired a few texts like, how good was Devin Cooley in your eyes? Unreal or unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's still sitting at a .940 save percentage at 12-3-0. It's like, hey, Devin, what happened to your .950?
Yeah.
He's still sitting at a .940.
Are you saying he's regressing?
No, I don't think I am. He's been he made 35 on 37 Sunday.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty good story. Devin Cooley's first year in the organization as well. Another one of those really good stories that has started to develop here.
Yeah, they got a nice find there, it looks like, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
That'll start to wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. It was Cam Hughes and Shan Vergy guiding us through as our producers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.